You're listening to the IHOP KC Family Connect podcast. In these 30-minute family conversations, fueled by the Word of God, the beauty of Jesus, and His glorious return, we will explore the narratives the Lord is weaving in the story of the global body of Christ as we digest what the Lord is saying to the church today.
Hey everyone, this is Stuart Graves here. I'm here with my good friend David Slyker, both part of the leadership team of the International House of Prayer. And, you know, we're living in some very interesting times, you know, of course, all around the news, what's going on. There's this whole issue with Ukraine and Russia. And Dave and I, we found ourselves this morning just kind of talking on the phone about just the dynamics that are taking place. But the biggest thing was, hey, let's not get too swallowed up in the secular narrative. Let's really reach for the narrative of the Lord. And so that's really what this conversation is about, is to just kind of spur us on in terms of what does the Word have to say? What are even some of the subjective prophetic things that the Lord has to say so that we know how to respond in light of what is taking place? And as I've been thinking, Dave, about this whole situation, the one thing that I've been thinking about is Acts 11 with Agabus. You know, Agabus gave that prophetic word to the church about this, you know, this global crisis and earthquake and so forth. And then watch the response of the church in light of that prophetic word, I find interesting.
Tell me.
Well, what they're doing is the immediate response was, hey, wait a minute, what about the church in Jerusalem? What about the church in Judea? And they begin to take up an offering and they begin to concern themselves about the relief of the saints rather than getting overly caught up in the social political dynamics that were taking place. I just find it very, very interesting.
That's a huge sentence. Yeah, that's a huge sentence. And you would imagine in the context of the story that there's a concern driven in part from knowing the socioeconomic situation in Jerusalem well, people they cared about. It was personal to them. And that's sometimes these kinds of things can become accidental prophetic chess pieces by which we hyper-spiritualize world events. And it's not personal to us because they're not people on the other side of it that love Jesus. We know their socioeconomic situation and we're not thinking first, is this about the Antichrist? We're thinking first, man, my brother's got to eat. They got to get out. How can we send aid? There's those kinds of practical needs that come when it's personal to you.
Yeah. And I'm sure, I know you've been there several times. I've been there several times. And, you know, you can't but help to see the squares, the roads, the people that we've met.
The airport.
Real faces, real names, and in my stomach's in pain, actually, thinking about what's happening over here.
Yeah, same. Yeah, it's... I don't know that I'm prepared for the days to come in that we really know these folks. They're really our friends. We've really labored with them and served and...
Had some of them in our homes.
Yeah, we have. You know, I was talking to you about Dnipro, and it's a city that most people have never heard about in the Ukraine. They know Kiev, but they don't know Dnipro. And that's just, it's a little city south of Kiev on a really strategic river, which makes it a really critical target if you wanted to do a military incursion and grab a hold of resources. Again, you think about it on a global strategic level or a prophetic level, I just think about the churches and the sweet people that we minister to there.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we were talking about as well was, I don't know, the way that the media works, whether left, right, whatever, it always puts things in the categories of good versus evil.
That's right.
And, you know, this side versus that side. And we were talking about how it is just very important to not get caught up in that, lest we miss really gospel responses that the scripture is very, very clear about. You know, one of the things I was thinking about earlier this week was, you know, the famous passage in Jeremiah 29 where the prophet says, pray for the city in which you lived that you may prosper. Well, that was a radical statement. I mean, they're in Babylon. He's telling the Jewish people to pray for the prosperity of the city that captured them and that enslaved them, you know? And so, you know, I was thinking about the prophetic word that the Lord gave to Bob Jones, you know, 30, 40 years ago about China and about Russia specifically.
That's right.
And how, you know, we've always wondered, going, okay, why is this important? But now that we're beginning to see that these two countries are really, in terms of the geopolitical sense, are being postured as our adversaries, now it's beginning to make sense because now we have a sermon around gospel response, you know, to those nations and particularly to the church within them.
Yeah, you know, what strikes me is these kinds of moments are such a pop quiz for the body of Christ And if I may be so bold, I think we're profoundly failing the quiz. But I think the Lord's kind. He's a father, and he's not angry that we're failing. He's wanting us to see that we are so that we can repent and do this differently. But it's like, here we are. We're in the moment where the Lord said in Matthew 24, see that you are not troubled.
Sure.
And we're so troubled. We don't have a grid to process these events. And so therefore, our default under the pressure of the moment is to just engage in the world's conversation. We're just talking about what everybody else talks about. And we're talking about the Ukraine, Russia, China, Taiwan. We're just having the same conversation the world is having. There's no distinction. If you walked into a church, a pastoral team, a ministry organization, or a newsroom, or a water cooler at a big corporation, you would hear, in my opinion, the exact same conversation about those four nations. Maybe a little political variance, but it's basically the same conversation. Your point, China bad, Taiwan good, Russia bad, Ukraine good. There'd be maybe a mix of conspiracy theories and a mix of attacking the president. But outside of that, it's the same conversation. And the Lord is saying, my people, I want your heart free and connected to me. So you're having a very different conversation from a very different perspective. And that's what I hear you saying.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the good news is, you know, we do have a good father and he is committed to us learning. And, you know, Isaiah 26, you know, when there's shakings in the earth, the inhabitants learn. And so if we fill the test, he goes, you know what? That's okay. He goes, we'll take it again until you get it, you know? And that's actually what part of this conversation is about. It's about us recognizing what are some lessons that we can learn today so that we know how to respond more accurately and move forward. You know, this morning, I just found myself just doing something kind of embarrassed it. I should have done it more often. But when I woke up this morning and I was thinking about the war, I found myself actually engaging in a dialogue of confession with the Lord.
Wow.
You know, and what kind of prompted that was thinking about the Daniel 9, that there's this geopolitical situation taking place. You know, Israel is under Babylonian control. Persia is beginning to get stirred up. Daniel goes, oh my gosh, this is a prophetic moment. And he gives himself to supplication and confession. And what's even more interesting is that that is what released the angel Gabriel. He responded to confession and repentance. And so, which gave me a whole different orientation about what it means to contend for the promises, you know, that whole thing.
That's a huge point.
There's so much more about contending. It's related to humility, responding to the Lord, say, Lord, what are you saying to me personally? You know, what are you speaking to me? What are you wanting me to give over to you in a greater way? And some things I had to ask, some things were pretty clear that I needed to talk to him about.
Wow. Yeah, that's profound because it's just not how we respond to what we would call a prophetic moment. And he had, to me, one of the biggest prophetic moments in front of him in redemptive history, the end of the 70 years of captivity and a promise of returning. That's one of the biggest promises God can make. If we were to receive a promise of that magnitude, but in our American cultural charismatic kind of way, we would be into triumphalism.
Right.
We'd be dancing around, and you know, I don't mind flags, but we'd be waving them hard. And the idea that in a moment of prophetic consummation, we're to repent and get right with God, that just doesn't even enter into our thinking in these kinds of moments, and it's really critical.
Yeah, I think Daniel 9, I think it's just going to be one of those templates for us because we're going to be having a lot more of these moments moving forward. You know, the thing you said earlier I thought was interesting was that this is personal. You know, we know some of these people, undoubtedly those who are listening in, know people within the Russian-speaking world. But I think we're coming into a time where more and more things are going to happen that's going to have an impact on many people personally. For instance, the pandemic, you know, just a couple of days ago, I was with the IFKC worship leaders. You know, there's about 150 of us in the room. And I asked the question, hey, how many of you know someone, a friend or family who was affected, who died because of COVID? And
right.
I'm talking almost 100% of the room.
Right.
Raise your hands. I mean, that's unprecedented. And this is only the beginning.
It's funny because I remember listening to a New York Times podcast in January when it was still just in China and it was word was just starting to leak out, hadn't come anywhere near America yet, hadn't even hit Italy yet. And a pandemic expert is talking, and he said, and my wife and I gasped when we heard it. He goes, when this thing is done, every single person, you and everyone you know, will know someone that died from this virus. And we both gasped. We went, that's unthinkable. But that's the hour in which we're living, in which that which was previously unthinkable is becoming normalized as the pressure increases. And that's back to your earlier point. As the pressure increases, where do we find our comfort related to the narrative of what's going on? And that's where the Lord has helped us. You brought up the Bob Jones word. It's, I think, important because early on in our little spiritual family and our little movement, early on, the Lord tips us off. Hey, whatever happens and whatever they say, know that there's going to be one of your primary assignments is to serve the Church of China. They're going to be some of your dearest friends, but also know that there's going to be a revival amongst Russian young people, a historic move of missions and the power of the Holy Spirit amongst Russian-speaking youth that's going to be unlike anything you've seen before. And so now we're entering into these uncertain times. The pressure's gone up another notch. Nobody knows how to process narrative. And the Lord goes, remember what I said. Russia, there's a revival coming. China, there are friends there.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, that I find striking about what the Lord spoke, he said, do not forget Russia, which
That's
is
right.
such an interesting phrase. And even in light of this conflict, because of the good versus evil dichotomy, Ukraine is receiving all kinds of love right now. And I can go, oh, wait a minute, don't forget Russia. Pray for the church in Russia. Pray for my purposes in Russia as well as my purposes in Ukraine.
I love how the Lord wrenches us into a different and better conversation. He just wants us to talk about this differently and see it differently, not like, well, I said this on Sunday, my message, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He goes, this is who you are. You're sons of the light. And as sons and daughters of the light, you don't have to be those for whom the day of the Lord comes suddenly and surprisingly. You can actually access the heart of God. You don't have to be as those who are asleep. And I find the body of Christ is content to let the sleepers who are in darkness drive the conversation about what's going on. Now the Lord goes, why aren't you talking with me?
Yeah, well, you know, it is the exhortation of David in Psalm 1. He goes, do not stand in the counsel of the wicked. Because why are you letting the unredeemed culture and the unredeemed narrative be the thing that drives the discussion? Because it comes from a shakable place. I think there's a significant amount of angst that we experience within our own souls because we're so much more connected to the earthbound narrative rather than being connected with the divine narrative in terms of what it is that the Lord is saying, what the Lord is up to.
So I said this on Sunday as well, related to what you just said. You know, there's something that struck me about the tree.
Lots of great. I've not heard the message. I mean,
you heard it on Friday.
But that's right, I did. But I've heard lots of great feedback about that message.
Thanks. Yeah. IHOP.org. So IHOPKC.org. So the thing that I said on Sunday last service, it just strikes me, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? Mm-hmm. That's the tree that the human race through Adam chose to feed on. And so that tree, the problem is when it comes to something like Ukraine or when it comes to something like racial conflict and, you know, the big woke conversation or when it comes to any issue of justice that you want to bring up and talk about, people go, why can't we seem to land this? How come we always disagree? Well, it's because I'm focusing on the evil that is bringing, but you keep counterpointing me with the good. And nobody has the eyes to see it's because of the tree we're feeding on. We're feeding on a tree in which we have knowledge and the ability to build our world apart from God, and that which we build will be good, but it will also be evil. You know, the telephone or the internet, they're neutral and even good at times, but there's an evil side to it. And everybody goes, look at the evil, but then the guy that's for it and benefiting goes, but look at the good. And we can't ever seem to win.
Well, in that tree, the good and the evil are both poisonous.
That's right. Because none of them, not even the good, produces life.
That's right.
And if we feed from the tree of life, that's actually the narrative that sets us free from fear, that gets us into compassion and intercession. We know it's the tree of life when it produces the fruit of life in our actions.
Sure.
And we know it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil when it just produces more talking.
That's right. You know, and there are so many Again, you know, I've said this before, you know, Psalm 119, that his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. I just think that for me personally, I mean, really beginning to go back to the word and ask the Lord for insight. You know what is interesting? I think Isaac Bennett said this about a year ago, that most of us have a therapeutic relationship with the scripture rather than a prophetic relationship with the scripture.
So good.
These situations, they really drive us to begin to discover that prophetic relationship that the scripture offers us, so that we begin to understand what the Lord is up to and how does that we're to respond. That all of a sudden passages like Acts 17 of how God moves the boundaries of nations. That's what's happening right now. The way he moves boundaries of nations is through military conflict, but it's for the purpose how that people would hope, group, and seek him and find him. And now we know how to pray. Now we know, okay, wait a minute. What has happened is tragic. It's devastating.
Horrible.
I can't imagine what people are going through.
Horrible. Feeling terrified.
It's just, it hurts my stomach, like I said earlier. But at least we have a guide to say, okay, Lord, I know what you're doing. You're creating an environment for greater seeking, a greater growth, and you're finding of you. Lord, if that's what you're doing, man, Ephesians 1:17, release your spirit, release wisdom, release revelation, dreams, vision, the Russian soldiers, the Ukrainian soldiers, the church. I mean, the whole thing. Now we can have a guide in terms of how to respond. I mean, there's so many verses.
Amen. Amen. So where are we going next?
You tell me.
Well,
you preach the message. Of, what were you yelling at us about? What were you wanting us to change and do differently? You were yelling at us on Sunday.
No, here we are. Here's our pop quiz. I mean, I'm preaching on Sunday with no idea, you know, that the Thursday's coming. And that's the way it is with the end of the age, actually. We always put off giving time to the scripture, getting clear on God's narrative and storyline. We put it off because we think we have endless tomorrows. But then suddenly Thursday comes and the entire world's different. And suddenly we're out of time. And I'm urging us to get quiet versus our propensity to get political or to get activist. We want to be, we're such little saviors that want to be messianic because we're powerless and we don't know what to do. In the time that's given to us, the best thing we can get is clear. And the best thing we can get is wisdom from scripture alive in our soul, which means doing this. It means finding a friend that can talk about the Bible with you. And here's the key, as it actually applies to significant historic events, not some kind of weird prophetic conspiracy theory. Yeah. We need application that makes us want to live and love differently, not application that gives us cool prophetic insight. And so that's the stuff I'd say.
Yeah, you know, I think there's two things. One thing is actually real quick in Acts 14, my dear friend out in Melbourne, Florida, Tim Franklin, pointed this out to me. It's in Acts 14. And what you see is there is this giant conflict because the citizens are angry with Herod, right? I mean, they're just mad. And then he claims to be God and all this stuff. I mean, I can only imagine what Twitter would have looked like 2,000 years ago, you know, with all the drama. But it's just one little phrase. It says, but the word of the Lord grew mightily, right? That in the midst of all of the upheaval, there's a bigger thing that God has wanted to do is for the word of the Lord to grow mightily. And so I think that one of the practical things we can do is one is pray for God's word to advance.
That's right.
Even in more, you know what's interesting? One of the things I enjoy doing is studying the history of hymns. And, I'm trying to think here.
I just want to say, there's no one like you. Did you know that, right?
Oh, dang it, turning there.
Some people are like, I just like video games.
Yeah. Well, it'll come to me in just a second, but there's a hymn. There's a famous hymn that we sing, and it's so famous that I can't even remember the hymn right now. But it was written in the Russian-speaking world, and it actually took, what's amazing about this hymn is that it took 70 years to write the hymn. It's one of those few songs that is being sung by the church that wasn't written by a single individual. It was sung within the Russian speaking world.
Wow.
In other words, one person wrote it, began to sing it. 10 years later, someone heard the song, liked it, added verses to it, and this happened over a period of 70 years that this song. So my point being,
wow,
we can pray for the release of songs in the Russian-speaking world, we can pray for God's word to spread mightily. I think another thing would be that to begin asking the Lord to for ideas of how to send relief to the saints in Ukraine, to the saints in Russia in particular. And soon on our website, we're going to have something on the IPKC website.
Beautiful.
People can participate with that because we're wanting to partner with some other ministries on the front lines to give to the needs of the church.
No, I think that's good. I mean, it's good training for our soul in moments like this to go quiet, to pray, but to pray specifically.
That's the song.
No way. That was the one?
Yes.
You're kidding me.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was written over 70 years?
37 years, yes.
That's profound.
Yeah, this is crazy.
That's profound.
I mean, that's a Holy Spirit collaboration.
So we're praying that in the Ukraine, I mean, I think we're praying that people get delivered from evil. I think we're praying for divine protection. We're praying for the church. We're praying for the Lord to set his hand of wisdom on shepherds to, you know, get the people going left, not right, you know, really practically. But I love your point about we're praying for Russia, too. We're praying for the release of songs and the move of the Spirit in the midst of the aggression. In the midst of, because it's really, they're going to be, nobody thinks, guys, the Russians are being bombarded with propaganda right now. That the sound of God would penetrate the noise and touch the human heart is a beautiful prayer. And then your point, give financially, that we can't go rescue everybody, but we can contribute a little. We can give as part of our expression of prayer, and the Lord can multiply that.
And would you take a moment, just pray for us, and then we'll be done.
So good. Thank you for doing this.
No, this is, well, we were talking this morning. I'm like, we got to continue this conversation.
Yeah, I love it. Well, Father, we're praying for our friends and those that we do not know, but they're your friends, the people that you care about and love in the Ukraine under pressure now. We're asking, God, that you would sovereignly move and just supernatural miracles, signs, wonders, that the story of your intervention and your presence would be the louder story that's told in the midst of the chaos and the fear and the war and the hardship. God, that you would break in, that you would break in with practical supply, that you would break in with prophetic direction and supernatural protection. But God, also do it in Russia. God, we're asking that promise of a Russian-speaking young adult missions movement. Send revival to Russia. Surprise us all and break in on the people. Let songs break forth of your beauty. Let songs break forth of your majesty. Cut through the noise and capture human hearts in Russia right now, in Jesus' name.
Well, thank you for joining us, and God bless you guys.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the IHOP KC Family Connect podcast. Consider subscribing if you haven't, and follow us on social media for other content from IHOP KC.